I'm Tiziana Deering. Let's take a look at tomorrow's show. With spring arriving, at least eventually, we're going to look at tourism in the region.
Our tables are set. This is Boston.
Hotel occupancy rates, for example, back to pre-pandemic levels, but downtown foot traffic, not. We're going to ask the head of the city's Convention and Visitors Bureau what the overall future might hold. That's tomorrow on the show. You're listening to Radio Boston. Here in the Commonwealth, we have the biggest hub in the world for biotech and life sciences.
Massachusetts' bioeconomy today creates hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs, and we are at the forefront of discovering cures for conditions that, in my lifetime, were a dread diagnosis or even a death sentence.
So that was Congressman Jake Auchincloss talking to us here on Radio Boston back in February. Now, naturally, we need a lot of space to do all that great science, and we built a lot of space to do all that great science, as in 9 times as much new lab space in a 2-year period compared to any 2-year period before COVID. That is what Catherine Carlock of the Boston Globe found, and she says it might be more than the industry needs. So now what? Well, Catherine joins us now on the line, and then here in Studio 2, we have Ben Bradford, head of external affairs at MassBio, which is a nonprofit that aims to advance the state's leadership in the life sciences industry. And we're going to dive into this. Catherine, welcome back. Catherine, do we have you? So we'll get Catherine back in a second here. And Ben, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
So while we're working to get Catherine back, what I'm going to do is lay down just a little bit more of what she had in her reporting, Ben. As I said, in just 2 years, the amount of lab space in Greater Boston ballooned by 57%, according to research from the real estate brokerage firm Colliers. The lab space now accounts for more than 1/5 of all the office and life science space in eastern Massachusetts. On the flip side, we have seen some patterns, Ben, and this is not from Catherine's research, this is from other data, of some layoffs and shrinking in the biotech world. Do you think we can fill this space over time?
Over time, certainly.
How soon?
We'll see how quickly the public markets come back. We'll see how we maintain our venture capital funding. But those numbers that we were talking about in the layoffs that have been largely reported, I think aren't telling necessarily the whole picture. We use federal jobs data to report our numbers. And over the first 3 quarters of 2023, these numbers lag a little bit. We added almost 3,000 jobs to the biopharma ecosystem in Massachusetts in 2023. So despite some of the layoffs, we continue to grow, and we need more space to continue to grow in the future.
Okay, thank you for that. I think, Catherine, do we have you now?
I'm here.
Great. So, Ben, I'm going to have you sit tight for a second while I dive into Catherine's reporting a little more so she can finish this setup for us. And then I'll bring you back into the conversation. I appreciate that patience from you. So, Catherine, you heard me lay out a little bit more, I hope you did, of what you found in your reporting there. We've also talked about the nearly 18 million square feet of new space opening from the seaport to Worcester. Who did you hear in your reporting was concerned, and who did you hear was not concerned about this level and rate of growth in biotech lab space?
Sure. Well, sorry for the technical glitch to start. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. The level of lab space that has come online in the last 2 years is really just unprecedented in Boston. It's a type of space that is traditionally pretty risky to build. It's got a single purpose. You have one type of tenant that can use this space. It's expensive to build. It's not like an office building that can be used by a lot of different types of people, a lot of different types of tenants. So historically, you had just a couple of specialized developers. A lot of economic reasons that got into why we built so much in the past few years. But in terms of who's concerned, who's not concerned, we're still kind of figuring out where we're going to land on. You know, the pendulum swung really far in the no demand, no vacancy, no availability, take whatever space you can side of things pre-COVID, and then post-COVID, it has now swung dramatically in the opposite direction of a ton of available space, a ton of options, a ton of choices. So I think there's still a little bit of flexibility and wiggle room to kind of even out the cycle a little bit.
So, Catherine, let me jump in there. Thank you. Let me jump in there. I'm going to ask you one more follow before I bring Ben back in. The sort of the driving factor here, was it more of a real estate calculation around available real estate, what it costs to build lab space, tax incentives, those kinds of things? Or was it more chasing an industry that was strong?
I think a little bit of both. You know, back in 2021, it was, you know, the future of offices in downtown had hardly been more uncertain. There wasn't a ton of capital out there from big, you know, real estate lenders to finance new office projects. There, we were instead, a lot of money was going to, well, hey, where can we be sure to get at least a return, or what we think could be a good return? So, and at the same time, a lot of venture capital money was just pouring into these life science companies by the billions of dollars. And that created this spectrum where all of the research was saying, this is what's in demand. This is what we can get financed. This is what we can make a return on. And then we were off to the races.
All right. So I'll turn back here in Studio 2 now to Ben Bradford, who is head of external affairs at MassBio. When Catherine said bit of both, you nodded. So that means some of it you do think developers are sort of chasing this life sciences industry, but some of it you think is exogenous or external factors. Is that right?
I completely agree. I think that, you know, we're lucky here in Massachusetts. This biotech industry is mature. MassBio has been around for almost 40 years. And we have a really sophisticated service provider community, and developers are included in this. That said, there were some people that saw the money flowing in and they saw the stock price of Moderna in 2020 and wanted a piece of the pie. So there has been certainly a component of new space being added by players that are not as mature and don't understand the industry quite as well as others. But there's others that understand there's ups and downs, understand that there are cycles in this industry, and are ready to weather that storm, and knew that we needed space regardless of whether it was going to be empty for a few years as well.
So I want to kind of pit now. We've got Ben Bradford of MassBio here. We've got Catherine Carlock, who's a real estate reporter for the Boston Globe, on the phone. We're talking about this tension between a booming growth in labs for life sciences in development and the market for it, you know, how quickly we get it filled, et cetera. And I want to pit two concepts against each other. The first is some sound from the chair of the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay. This is Martin Redder. All right. So the pushback here, he is talking about Boston policy, Mayor Wu, city planning, and strategic planning and where life sciences fits in that. Here we go.
There's been no strategic planning about the proliferation of biolabs, and nor has there been any strategic planning about housing. The formulation of projects has basically been left up to whatever developers think is most appropriate for them.
So there's the real estate pushback, right? At the same time, you have a vision happening across the state about what life sciences as an economic driver could do. More from Jake Auchincloss, the congressperson, on biotech and real estate across Greater Boston on Radio Boston in February.
It's about better health spans for our kids and grandkids and terrific jobs for our economy. Not just R&D jobs, by the way, in places like Boston and Cambridge and Watertown, but also biomanufacturing jobs in places like Fall River and Plainville and Norton in my district, which are already hosts to some of those facilities.
So, Catherine Carlock, what I find when I hear those two sounds is, do we really have a disconnect here, or is this a phasing problem?
I think the issue now is that so much of this space is coming online in a relatively short period after we had so long of there's not enough space. We need room to grow. There's not enough space. And so all of a sudden, there's just this huge glut of space, of labs hitting the market that, and in, I think Martin Roeder has a point of, you know, there for a while there, back in 2021 and 2022, it seemed like every warehouse, every office, every empty plot of land was being considered for lab space. There's a project out in Somerville where, you know, they had considered a residential project, but then said, oh, hey, nope, actually, we're going to do labs there. At the same time, there's a lot of lab projects that are being used basically to underwrite housing developments as well, kind of seeing a mixed use project with both labs and housing. So it's always an economic calculation. And I think just right now we're seeing so much of this space come online in a relatively short time frame that it's got a lot of people going like, wait, what's going on?
So I'll turn back to you, Ben Bradford, adding some data here. So Boston Real Estate Times, October of 2023. Overall, in the office market, vacancy jumps 120 basis points quarter over quarter to 15.6%. But in the life sciences market, a 31.2% uptick in leasing activity quarter over quarter. So some hope that there's this industry that's going to absorb this problem in the overall commercial real estate market. I think, the question is not only just phasing, which Catherine helped sort of answer there, but to what extent is life sciences sort of the next economic solution that we're investing in? And of course, you're Mass Bio. You're going to be like, yeah, it's great. But really talk to me about that. And can that much burden be put on one industry in Massachusetts?
If there's anywhere that can handle that burden, it's Massachusetts. We have the best and brightest living here. Our companies are continuously working on therapies that are going to change people's lives around the world. And to do that, you need the space to grow. You need the space to go strategically. And rewind 5 years, and we had no vacancy in the urban core. Now we do. This is going to allow early stage companies who are working on unmet medical needs to grow strategically, to grow as they should. And something we're seeing today that we weren't seeing a few years ago is these companies, as soon as they raise their money and hit key data points, they want to move into a space that they can keep that research going. They don't want to sit and wait. They want to put that money to use so that they can get therapies to patients. Now, this is also an industry that, even in the urban core, we have the ability to bring underrepresented populations into this industry and really create generational economic change. MassBio launched our program with the support of Mayor Wu called BioVersity, which is training individuals without four-year degrees in basics of lab operations. We've just finished our first cohort of 17 students. Cohort number two is going, and these people are getting mid five-figure salaries that they couldn't have imagined before taking part in this program.
So, finish that thought.
So there are more programs than just BioVersity doing this. So this is an industry that has the ability to lift people up across Massachusetts while also doing good for people around the world.
Okay, so quick answer to this question. Fair enough. And yet, Governor Healey says we're down 200,000 housing units in our state. You're talking about employing more people and filling that lab space. We've got transit issues, affordable housing issues. Briefly, before I go back to Catherine for last word, the rest of the state infrastructure, can it meet what life sciences needs from the state to fill all that space?
I certainly hope so. And we certainly have space across the Commonwealth as well. It's not just in the urban core that this is growing. You look at Watertown and they've built four new schools without doing a tax override. So this is an industry that's not just filling Boston and Cambridge. We're filling 128. We have a 300,000 square foot manufacturing search that we're working on with a number of folks around 495. So yes, and I certainly hope that this housing bond bills goes through so that we can create the housing for those employees as well.
So, Catherine, you know, $4 billion housing bond bill that the governor wants, lots of pressure on housing, move to use office space for housing. Do you see a tension related to all this lab space in your real estate reporting? Last word to you briefly.
I do see that a lot of properties, a lot of land that could have been used for housing is now tied up as could it be a lab? Maybe one day. So I do see some tension there in the future.
And what do you watch now, Catherine Carlack?
What I watch now is a lot of projects that are coming online, how quickly they're going to be leased, or projects that have been approved but haven't yet started construction. Are they actually getting construction financing to get out of the ground?
And Ben Bradford, in a sentence, what do you watch now?
We're watching public markets and venture capital funding. With the money will come expansion and employee additions and additional real estate deals.
All right. Ben Bradford is the head of external affairs at MassBio. Catherine Carlock is real estate reporter with the Boston Globe. Thanks, both of you, for joining us.
Thank you.